Good morning. The sun is shining and you are welcome to Ballyhenry. Welcome to those of you who are with us in person. I got a wee message from one member of the congregation who is joining us by Zoom this morning from Lanzarote. And I bet you the sun's shining a bit more even there. So wherever you're at this morning, it's great to be together. Bulletin sheets have been emailed to registered members, and some paper copies are available after the service for those without access to email. You'll see that our arrangements for this week include home-based fellowship groups on Wednesday evening. Today at 3:30, there is an important meeting for everyone who's hoping to help with this year's Holiday Bible Club. If you're planning to be part of Holiday Club, but you're not able to come this afternoon, can I encourage you, it's important to speak to Zarina this morning and she'll be able to get you some information that will be coming out at that meeting this afternoon. Then at 8 p.m. today, we have the first evening of a small group of folks that will be meeting to learn more about what it means to become a communicant member of the church. And if you would like to know more about coming along to that at 8 o'clock here tonight, feel free to speak to me or feel free just to arrive at 8 o'clock and there'll be a small group of us meeting for that purpose. Then can I remind you that next Saturday morning between 10 and 12 noon, PW have their trailer here at the church to collect clothes for Hope 365. And there are some additional bags available this morning for that. And then finally, Nolene's going to come and mention a couple of things to us. And Emily.
Little does she know how difficult it is to persuade him to let you up here. Two things. You should all have got a wee leaflet when I was coming in this morning. I'm collecting some stuff for Malawi again. If you have something that's not on the list and you think would be suitable, just give me a wee shout and I'll tell you if it's okay or not. But really, most things that are hygiene or medical are okay. The other thing is Meet the Neighbours this year is 10th of August, as you probably know. Julian, as usual, has very kindly been coerced into doing the music, which he's very happy about. So anything to do with music, direct that at Julian. Other than that, what I'm looking for is, if you are part of a local community thing, like a historical society or anything, and they would like to come along, would you speak to me? As we would like to involve as much of the community-based things as possible. Also, if you have some hidden talent, juggling, fire eating, whatever, I can pass by Ivan and the insurance, speak to me again, I'd love to have you. No, he's shaking his head, the fire eating's not there. So anything, and I mean, if you can do anything, I don't put lists out to closer to the time because you'll only forget what you've said you were doing, but it's more to get more stuff here. So if you know anyone that maybe could come and do something for us, or you're part of a group, or you collect something and you'd love to come and show it off, please speak to me, as we'd be very, very glad to have anything like that. So it's the 10th of August, 12 to 4 as usual. And the usual things will be here, the marquee and the barbecue and all that, but we are trying to get a wee bit of a variety. So if you can think of anything else, please speak to me and I'd love to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you. So if you're really good at juggling and you're trying to think, where do I fit into this church? Now you know. We've come together this morning to worship God. In the Bible, we read these words, "Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears." Let's join together in the words of our opening hymn. This hymn begins our service with a big vision of a big God, drawing on imagery from early in the book of Isaiah. It's entitled, "Holy, Holy, Holy, and it's good to have Vivian on piano visiting with us this morning. We stand together to praise God. Let's pray together. Father God, as we have come to this time of worship, our prayer is that you would gather us around your throne. Give us a new vision of how big you really are. Your sovereignty, your holiness, your might, and your unending power. Lord Jesus, on this first day of the week, we pray for your family gathered around the world to worship and to hear your word. We remember especially those who are unable to meet in person with others. For some due to illness or infirmity, for others due to geographical isolation, or even in places, persecution. Holy Spirit, revive us today Surprise us with your power and your presence as we gather. Bring healing into lives. Speak words of faith and comfort. Bind up broken hearts. Grant us repentance and pour out the gifts that are yours to give. And renew in us a vision of what can be. And kindle within us an all-consuming passion for Jesus. Amen. Boys and girls, do you want to come up to the front? And we're going to get a wee chat. And because I want to talk to you this morning, I've been thinking this week about something in particular, and I wanted to chat to you this morning about it, and that is I wanted to talk to you about news, okay? So I wanted to talk to you about news. Now, people today hear news from all sorts of places. So you might get news on the TV. There's somebody watching the TV on the news. What are some of the other places you might hear news? Maybe at home you see grown-ups looking at their phone and they're looking for news. And maybe in school, where do you hear news in school? Where might your principal stand up at the front of school and say, "Good morning, boys and girls, I have some news for you, and I want to tell the whole school the news." Maybe in school assembly, would you get news? Well, I've been thinking about how in this world there are two types of news. There is good news and there is bad news. So where do you see this? I have, what's the first one here? Let's see the first one. The first one is good news, okay? Now, do we have two people who'll come and help us hold up our good news thing? So whenever you come up, shout out your name so that everybody hears your name, and then, so, He's going to come up. Somebody come up. Aaron, come on. Right. Shout out your name, okay? David. Shout out your name, David. Shout it really loud.
David.
Shout out your name, Aaron. Aaron. Okay, so David and Aaron are going to hold this up. So go over there to the corner, boys, okay? So this is the good news corner. And, Samuel, you're going to help us hold up the bad news, okay? Come on over here. Tell us all your names. Shout it out. Big loud.
Samuel.
Okay. Who's going to hold this up with Samuel? Joel, do you want to come up? Who's going to? Harry, you shout out your name, okay?
Harry.
Okay. So Samuel and Harry. So here's what we're doing. I am going to tell you a piece of news, okay? And if it's good news, we're going to shout out good news. And if it's bad news, we're going to shout out bad news, okay? So here's my first piece of news today. I want you to imagine that there's going to be no school this week. There's going to be no school this week. Now, you're not allowed to answer, okay? There's going to be no school this week. Is that good news or bad news? Shout it out. Good news. So that would be good news. It would be lovely to get a big break. Good news. Here's another one. I want you to imagine that you've heard that there are two countries and they're having a war with each other. Is that good news or bad news? Bad news. It's bad news when countries fall out and have fights and wars and all that kind of stuff. I want to tell you another one. I want you to imagine that it's going to be sunny every day for the next month, and you're going to have lots of time to play outside. Is that good news or bad news? Good news. And finally, here's the final one for you. I want you to imagine that the summer holidays are cancelled, and you're going to have to go to school all the way through July and all the way through August. Bad news. There's two types of news in this world. There is good news and there is bad news. Every Sunday here in church, we come together. And every Sunday in here and in prime time and in Bible class, we read together from the Bible and we learn about the Lord Jesus. Boys and girls, the Bible is full of good news. In a world where there is so much bad news, the Bible is a book of good news. And that's why it's so good to gather here Sunday by Sunday to hear the good news, to share the good news with people of all ages. And that's why it's so good, for example, to be looking forward to our holiday Bible club, where we will have a chance to share this good news with boys and girls who maybe never hear good news like this, and to tell them about Jesus. So every Sunday when we come here, no matter what we've been hearing during the week, let's remember that there is good news to hear, and we want this to be a place of good news. Alrighty. So thank you to Harry and Samuel, and thank you to Aaron and David for helping us this morning. Okay, we're going to sing a song. This song is a song that for many, many years has been reminding us about the good news that Jesus loves me. We're going to stand together to sing. Earlier this year in January, our elders appointed a small group from within our eldership and also from within our congregational committee to do a review of our congregational finances. That group has been meeting over the last few months, and we're going to take some time now in our service for that group to come and speak with us as a congregation. I'm going to hand over to Stephen Dunn, who is going to chair that conversation.
Morning. Hope everybody's good. What we're going to do today is take 10, 15 minutes of your time, and really, there's a leaflet going to land in your doorsteps, hopefully tomorrow or Tuesday. What we didn't want was everybody be sitting looking at this leaflet, because the guys coming up, there's four wise men coming up to join me, and I'm going to let them do all the talking. So really, 10 to 15 minutes, and Robbie, William, Ivan, and Martin will be about after the service. If anybody's any queries of after this service or over the next couple of weeks, by all means talk to us. So maybe invite the guys to come up on the stage now. Maybe just before we get started, if you didn't mind, I'd just like to pray with everybody and pray with the guys. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being here this morning, Lord, for being part of Ballyhenry, a living, growing family placed in Newton Abbey, with lots of neighbours on our doorstep, Lord. We're a church that wants to be welcoming, that wants to have outreach, Lord, and we want to learn here as a congregation ourselves. It's through your grace, Lord, that we're co-workers with you, Lord, using our hands, using our talents, but more importantly, guided by your almighty hand, Lord. And as we come to more governance things and financial things in church today, we just ask you, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, to calm our hearts, Lord, to open our minds as a congregation, and especially as the guys in the finance team here, Lord, to give them wisdom and to give them the right words to convey the right message this morning. And we also ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, thanks for coming. I was going to get you to introduce yourselves, but I just want you to shout your name out. Start.
Robbie.
Obviously, the guys, the exception William, Martin, Robbie, and Ivan, you are responsible for key accounts in the church. Could you maybe just give us an overview of what your account does? And we'll start with Ivan there on the number one.
I look after the number one account. That's your orange envelope, and it's called the free will offering. Do you want me to go into details of how that's spent then, this question?
If yeah. I could, please, Ivan. Yeah.
All the money given to this account is to meet the ongoing day-to-day expenditure of running the church. This includes such items as salary costs, electricity and gas, administration, program costs, insurance, local outreach, and commitments to the wider Presbyterian Church in Ireland and other ongoing expenses. This account accounted for overall for 60% of total church expenditure last year.
Thanks, Adam.
I look after the number two account, which is known as the property account. And this is really to look after our church building, along with the manse, in a number of ways. And the expenses can range from tens of pounds to tens of thousands of pounds. And that can be via repairs and maintenance. So we think about our grass cutting that goes on, the painting of the external walls of the church. There's always electrical repairs. Then we have new and replacement equipment. So one of the larger items would have been the replacement heating system back in 2020-21. We also, you can see a number of folding chairs around the church, so items like that. And then more recently, some audio-visual equipment, replacement keyboard and drums. And then we get to larger items again, the new works. So when you look out at the welcome area, that area has been opened up in the recent past. And looking forward, the kitchen refurb works that are currently ongoing.
Thanks, Robert.
I look after the mission account. So the mission account is focused, so whereas the number one and property account are focused on things that go on in Ballyhenry, the mission account is focused on things that are outside Ballyhenry that are not funded for what we do here. So we would support, so we're part of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, so we're part of the funding of all the activity that goes on to PCI. But then we also have a strategy where we will not, we don't dip in and dip out of areas that we support. We're in for the long haul with organisations and people that we commit to. So we're talking about things like Ricky and Marlene in Wycliffe, Lorna Morrison, who, if you don't know, Lorna grew up in Ballyhenry, now lives in England, but works through an organisation called IFES. I just make sure I don't miss any. Tier Fund, obviously, we're a long-term partner of Tier Fund, and just on that, we have a speaker coming on the 12th of May to from Rwanda, one of the significant leaders of the Rwandan church who's coming, and he's coming here because of our long-term partnership, the level of our giving. I'll let you know now, the Tier Fund collection that we did about 4 weeks ago raised £6,221 for Tier Fund, which is fantastic. But even though that is fantastic, it's slightly down on last year. Having said that though, we get gift aid on last year's giving. So we actually sent a check to Tier Fund for £7,686. And that would be consistent in what we've done over the past, I don't know how long, 20, 30 years. We have other partners, AfriCare. We don't talk a lot about AfriCare, but I really commend the 1st of May to you. Brian Dorman from AfriCare is coming to our midweek to speak. They do amazing work. There's notes on the mission notice board every time we get an update from them. They do some fantastic work, so I would commend them to you. You also know Eggshell Cambodia. We have a team planning to go out in 2025. And Patso, again, has been announced this morning, the support that we're giving to Patso. We give financial support to Patso as well, and small support to street pastors as well. And sorry, the key difference between the mission account and the number one and property, the number one and property are administered by committee. Mission account is administered by session, so all expenditure for the mission account goes through session and session approves it. But a committee get full visibility of everything that goes in and out.
Thanks, Martin. It's been really refreshing, especially for myself, and I think the guys have actually had a bit of fun meeting, even though we're talking about a serious situation, or not a serious situation, serious business of running the finances of the church. I suppose we've looked back over the last 5 years, and you know, I suppose this isn't really like an interview. I always think this is probably a bit more like Match of the Day, where I'm Gary Lineker, and these are the experts. Match of the Day is my favourite TV programme, actually. So it's more, we've been in the data room and looked at all the statistics and how the matches have been played out. And this game is God's kingdom's work, you know. So I suppose I'm going to hand over to the guys and go, what's the current situation? Because we all come out on a Sunday and, you know, it's vibrant. We feel it growing. There's new stuff, you know, even for myself on the property team. You know, we've opened the church up 7 days a week now. You know, I know from sort of programming the heating, you know, there's something on every day now. So maybe hand over to Ivan, because the number one is the account we're sort of focusing on today. But can you give us an update, Ivan, just on the current situation of where we are and where we've come from?
Yeah, it's been encouraging to look at the giving of the number one over the last 5 years. It's remained stable. Recorded giving to the number one account in 2019 was $92,700. While in 2023 it was 94,900, so it has increased. However, last year there was considerable inflation. At the end of last year, the count was in deficit to the tune of 13,700. Because of surpluses from previous years, we had reserves to cover this.
Okay. Robbie, on the property side?
Yep, just to date, the property fund has been maintained at a sufficient level that's met our needs to look after our church, which is good. And then the congregation yourselves have responded with additional giving when required. So an example of this was when the flood happened and we needed to install a new heating system. So your giving to the property account has also enabled us to undertake works such as the kitchen refurb, which is ongoing, which is positive.
In terms of the mission, last year the mission giving between 22 and 23, that was 6% down. However, this year to date, and we're only 3 months in, but year to date we're about 10% up on 2023. So that's sort of balanced out back to where we were 2022. The sort of the difference between the mission again is a lot of what we send out to our partners is what comes in. So it doesn't have a big impact. If we get less in, we give less out. The caveat to that is United Appeal, which funds PCI, is based on the giving to the other accounts. So that's a commitment that we have to meet through the mission fund if we don't have enough money to do it. But apart from that, all the other partners, they suffer if we don't get the money in because we can't give the money out in that case.
Okay. Ivan, okay, back to yourself. I suppose the question I had when we were going through these figures, why were we running at a deficit, when the givens more or less stayed on a level basis, we haven't went down in terms of our giving, but maybe you can just give us some reasons.
As you all know, because you face this yourself, increased costs are affecting many areas of life. This has been particularly true regarding our electricity and gas costs, a major component of the expenditure at Ballyhenry, because as you know, the buildings are open 7 days a week. In 2022, we spent £12,000 on gas and electricity. In 2023, we spent £16,000. That's an increase of £4,000. Another factor has been the number of households who contribute to the free will offering. In 2019, there were 186 contributing households. In 2023, there were 160. Now, I know that sounds alarming, but there's a reason behind that. There has been a significant decline through the death of elderly members over the last few years. And while these members faithfully gave to the church, it may be the case that they didn't get out to the church. And I think that's why when we look around the church today, the church does not feel particularly empty. If anything, it's full up. So that's probably the factors that we're looking at, the fact that there has been a decline in the contributing members, but there definitely has been heavy inflation.
Thanks, Ivan. I suppose maybe if we move forward here, because I'm conscious of time, I'm looking probably to William and Ivan here, maybe to combine two questions here. How do we grow the number one account? And it was interesting for me, again, in these meetings, even personally, stuff like, a standing order had been set up, during COVID, and mine had sat for a while, without me reviewing it. And I know I've got, I'm sure everybody's the same subscriptions and DDs, and there's wee practical things. And this leaflet, we've got a practical guide on actually how to give. So it's maybe going to maybe ask William and Ivan just to perm in here and see what the thoughts were from the team.
Yeah. Well, I'm the clerk of session. I serve as a clerk of session for Ballyhenry. And I'm also the free will offering secretary as well. So I'm the one who organizes the envelopes. I'm the one who gives your envelopes out at the end of the year for the next year. As far as envelopes go, if any of you haven't got envelopes and it's maybe something you've been thinking about, if you come and see me, I can arrange a set of envelopes anytime throughout the year. The giving side of it now, there's three ways you can give. You can give using your box of envelopes, and inside that box you have an envelope for the number one fund, an envelope for the property, and an envelope for the mission fund. And throughout the year, there's white envelopes within the pack for the different appeals. What Martin was talking about there, there's Tier Fund, Presbyterian, Children's Society, Word Development. And so on a Sunday, the first Sunday of each month is when our offering is collected. There'll be a box just at the glass doors, so you can drop your envelopes into that in the morning on the way in, and you can also drop them on the way out as well. Then in the afternoon, if anybody hasn't been able to get out to church on Sunday morning, there's an opportunity to hand your offering in on between 3 and 3:30 that Sunday afternoon. And then gift aid, we've talked a bit about gift aid. Heather McKinney would look after gift aid. But if Heather's not around, Ivan or myself here can do the gift aid side of it as well. And so last year we were able to bring in around £32,000 in gift aid, so it's very well worth it. The second way you can give is by standing order. And again, you can get the details from Ivan on how to do that. You just set the standing order up and then you let Ivan know which way you want it split between the different accounts, number one, mission and property. And then the other way is through bank transfer. Quite a number of people would use the bank transfer. It's more flexible. You can give what you have on this, whatever way you want to work that. And again, the details for that can be got from Ivan or myself as well. I'll have that if Ivan's not available. And the way that would work is that you would do a transfer, just a bank transfer to each of the accounts separately. So you do one for number one, then you do another transfer for mission, and another transfer for property. But when you're doing these, it's important that you use your free will offering number so that Ivan then, as he gets that, he can pass that on to me, and then I can allocate the amounts of money to your number. So in the reference box in the bank transfer, if you do, say your number was 300, you would put 300 number one and do a transfer, 300 property, do a transfer, and 300 mission and do a transfer. And that's how the giving would work.
Thanks, William. And you'd like to add to that, Ivan, from your perspective?
Well, I was just going to sum up here by saying we're able to absorb last year's deficit, as I said before, from the reserves. So there's no actual debt on that account. However, if we're sort of move forward in a sustainable way, in a way that continues to grow the life and witness of the congregation, we need to increase the annual giving to our number one account by something in the region of 15%. That's £14,000. For some, that means looking at the money going into the envelopes. For others, that means reviewing those standing orders or bank transfers. I think that's it.
Good. Okay. So we're going to come in and land the plane here. Probably looking to William and Martin here, just maybe to give your final thoughts on where we are, where you see Ballyhenry going, probably over the next 5 years. I know ourselves. I think we've done brilliantly over since COVID, and as a team collective of a family of believers in Ballyhenry, we've done really well. But where do you guys, you sit in the session as elders, guys, where do you see the vision for Ballyhenry moving on from here?
Well, from my point of view, I've been coming here for up to nearly 32 years now. And when I came here, there was a number of people working in Ballyhenry. A number of those people are still working in Ballyhenry. But when I look around the congregation this morning, there's so many people here involved in the life and work of Ballyhenry. I remember back last year when we had the storm and we had trouble with our heating. And one in particular Sunday morning, there was no heat. And Niall had written out a letter to everyone letting them know that there would be no heat that Sunday morning. That Sunday morning was a communion Sunday. We had more people taking communion that Sunday than we had in previous Sundays. So it just shows, that the people are committed to following Jesus. They're committed to the life and work of Ballyhenry, and they're committed to spreading the gospel out there amongst our community. And not only that, but wider afield, you've heard of Malawi this morning, Cambodia, Bible translators around Africa, all of that. We support all of that. So there's a lot of work going on there. And then we've got, we come in here in a church on a Sunday morning and we talk about being gathered and then scattered. We're gathered here on a Sunday morning where people come, they want to learn about Jesus. So they're encouraged, they're challenged, but they're also changed. And then they go out into the wherever life takes them on the Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, all walks of life. People working in civil service, teachers, patrol people, engineers working on the shop floor, all types of work that we do. And in those places there, we might be the only Christian person in those places. So we're bringing light into an area that maybe we don't even see it ourselves, but God will always work through us. You know, and then when we look around here, we look at our community. We are a big white building right in the middle of this whole area. You can't miss it. But while we're here on a Sunday morning, there'll be people out there walking their dogs, you know, running, cycling, washing the car, cutting the grass, watching sport, whatever they're doing, have no interest at all on what goes on in church or what goes on with, you know, their life of Jesus. They've no interest in any of that. So there's a big mission field out there that we want to be right in the middle of. There's so much work to be done. It's actually really exciting that there's so much to go on, because as Stephen said there, we've really been kept. God has been faithful to us. He's been kind to us. We were able to stay together during COVID times, and that was all because we had Zoom. The buildings were shut, but the church didn't stop. We were meeting at 11 o'clock. We were having our praise group. We were having our talk by Niall, and the gospel was still getting out there every Sunday. So there's exciting times ahead, there's exciting work. But what I would encourage you to do, this wee leaflet will go out, you'll get it early this week, is to make yourselves a cup of coffee, have a cup of tea, sit down and read the leaflet. Just go through it and just see what you think.
Thanks, William. Martin, any closing comments?
Very, very quickly. I think the bottom line is we are really encouraged of the faithfulness of the people of Ballyhenry. We're not panicking, but we haven't been good enough at communicating to you what's going on, and we want to try and improve that. So the purpose of the day is primarily to communicate, is to let you know the facts rather than guessing what's going on. So we want you to be encouraged. We wouldn't be providing leadership if we weren't thinking ahead and planning ahead. So we're thinking this year, next year, and 5 years down the line, which is why we've started doing this, and hopefully it'll continue. So hopefully you will see that we, as a finance team, are trying to provide leadership, and as a session, we're trying to provide good leadership as well. And just bottom line is we're incredibly grateful for all of you and grateful to God for what he's done for us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Martin. I want to thank you guys, the four yous, and Niall for putting the team together. It's been really useful. Hopefully you guys have found it useful. We talked at the start about using our own hands, being guided by God's hand. I want you all to put your hands together for yourselves, and in particular for the guys here this morning.
Guys, thank you. Thank you very, very much. We are going to stand together to sing our next piece. It is entitled The Servant King.
Thank you.
Back in January, we began a journey. A journey through the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And our overall title for this series is Mighty to Save. As we have seen, this book comes in three big sections. And the middle section, chapters 40 to 55, were written to connect with God's people when they were living in a place and living at a time of exile. Let me show you a picture. This comes from the 2017 movie, Darkest Hour. In Isaiah chapter 40 to 55, we listen in as Isaiah, one of the towering figures of Old Testament history, addresses God's people while they were living through their darkest hour. Last Sunday, we traveled the length of Isaiah chapter 49. And this morning, our focus is going to be on Isaiah chapter 53. This is one of the standout chapters, not only in this particular Bible book, but actually in the whole of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 53 is quoted or referenced almost 40 times in the New Testament. It's interesting. Sometimes if you listen to people who are not Christians or who are not familiar with how the Bible works, they'll say things like, oh, the God of the Old Testament did this, this, and this. But the God in the New Testament is completely different. But that's not true. The Bible is one whole book speaking to us about one God who is revealing himself to people throughout the course of human history. So this Old Testament book, Isaiah 53, this chapter, quoted almost 40 times in the New Testament. And as we're going to see, this particular chapter looks forward with such clarity to the coming of Jesus that this chapter is sometimes referred to as the fifth gospel. But before we come to our material for today, it's worth making comment on the chapters that are in between where we were last week and where we are going to be this morning. Isaiah chapters 50, 51, and 52 function like introductory title scenes that prepare the ground for Isaiah chapter 53. In chapter 50, the Lord, speaking through his prophet, addressed his people in exile. And he looked back at what had happened. Why had the exile happened? Why had God's people been carried off from the promised land and taken into captivity in Babylon? Well, if you have your Bibles open, you'll see the answer in Isaiah 50, verse 1. This is on page 738 in our Bibles. Why had this all happened? Why had God's people been carried off into exile? In Isaiah 50, verse 1, we read, because of your sins, you were sold. The exile revealed God as judge. And for generations, his own people had rebelled against him, and that sin had to be paid for. But this takes us on down into the first part of chapter 51. Once again, God spoke. And here he spoke about what was going to happen. This takes us to Isaiah 51, verse 11. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. God was going to rescue his people. The return from exile was going to reveal God as Savior. The exile was going to come to an end. A day was coming when they would return to Jerusalem, which is referred to here as Zion, and they would return with singing, with gladness, and with joy. It's what had happened, it's what was going to happen, but then towards the end of Isaiah chapter 51, God spoke about what was never going to happen again. To understand this, we need to dig a little into the imagery of this chapter. In verse 17, the Lord uses picture language to describe what Israel had been through. You see it in the text. Awake, awake, rise up, Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the cup of the Lord, the cup of his wrath, you who have drained to its dregs the goblet that makes people stagger. God pictures his people as having drunk from a cup, a bitter cup. A cup, as it were, full of wine gone bad, symbolizing God's wrath. A cup that made people stagger. A cup reserved for the wicked of the earth. And in the bitter experience of suffering exile, God's people had drunk from that cup of God's wrath. Now here's the question. Even if the exile was soon to end, what is to say that in future years, if God's people failed to live up to his standards, well, what is to say they wouldn't end up drinking that cup of judgment all over again? Well, look at chapter 51, verse 22. This is what your sovereign Lord says, your God who defends his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. From the cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. You will never drink this cup again. But how can God do this? How can the Lord Almighty, who is perfect and holy, punish sin and yet at the same time rescue his people? That question brings us to Isaiah chapter 53. In this chapter, we meet someone who is introduced in chapter 52 as God's servant. And as we're going to see, we find ourselves pointed all the way forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. How can the Lord Almighty, who is perfect and holy, punish sin and yet at the same time rescue his people? Let's keep that question in mind as we turn to Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to read verses 1 to 12. This is on page 741 of our Bibles. And I'm going to invite Joe to come and read these verses to us. This is God's word. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 12, page 741 in our Bibles.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. And he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressors.
God was preparing to send his servant. And in this chapter, we learn about the identity of the servant. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Edinburgh for a few days, and we visited the palace of Holyrood House. It's a royal palace. And in that palace, servants work, and they work in very grand surroundings. Well, here in Isaiah 53, we get a picture of this servant of the King of Kings. But he's not the kind of person who we might have expected. Look at verse 2. Here is a servant who carries no signs of beauty or majesty. Here's a servant, verse 3, who wouldn't be treated with respect, but who would be despised by people, from whom people would hide their faces. Secondly, we're given a picture of the work of this servant. Verse 3, he would be rejected. His life would be marked by suffering and pain. Verse 5, he would be pierced, crushed, punished. Verse 7, he would be oppressed and afflicted. Verse 8, he would be cut off prematurely from the land of the living, assigned a grave with the wicked. Yet after all of this, verse 11, he would see the light of life. Somehow, and we're not told how here, his suffering and even his death would not be the end of the story. It's a prophetic image, a forward-looking picture to who this servant would be and what he would come to do. But thirdly and finally, we hear the invitation of this servant. In the original Bible language, this chapter is written like a poem, and the heart of the poem is found in verses 4-6. These verses, first spoken almost 600 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus, help us with real clarity to understand why this servant would come into the world and what his offer is. Just watch for a moment how this unfolds step by step. Verse 4, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. Isaiah looked to the coming of God's servant. This servant would be punished by God himself. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. This innocent servant would be punished in the place of other people. He would be punished to bring other people peace and to bring other people healing. Verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us turned to our own ways, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So whose sins would be laid on this servant? This servant would lay down his life for us all. Do you remember that image back in Isaiah 51? God's people had drunk from the cup of God's wrath. And then God had promised to take that cup away from them so that his people would never have to drink that cup again. But what has he done with this cup? Where has the cup of God's wrath gone? Turn to the New Testament, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 28. This is on page 1088. John chapter 19, verse 28. This is 600 years after Isaiah chapter 53. The Lord Jesus is hanging on a cross. And within moments, he will die. Listen to these words. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, lifted it to Jesus' lips, and when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In the book of Isaiah, God promised his people that he would take the cup of his wrath away from them. They would never have to drink it again. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus, God's own innocent servant, just before he died, drank from a cup of wine vinegar, wine gone bad. He drank the cup of God's wrath. That cup reserved for the wicked of the earth. And when he had drunk it, he bowed his head, his work done, and he died. At the cross, God is revealed as judge. When his anger and his wrath fell full strength upon his servant, the Lord Jesus. And at that same moment and in the same place, we see God revealed as Savior, as Jesus takes our place, drinking the cup of God's wrath so that we need never drink it, offering us the opportunity to be forgiven and to be free because he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brings us peace was on him. Friends, how can we wrap words around the grace of God? How can we begin to imagine the depths of God's wrath and judgment, which Jesus drank down upon the cross so that we would never have to do that? And yet how terrible and fearful the prospect of paying for our own sin in a place that Jesus called hell, if we see God only as our judge and never come to Jesus as our Savior. How great is this salvation? To receive for ourselves and to take out from here, as together, God willing, we step into the future that God has for us in this place. Let me leave you with one final line. Again, from the heart of the Old Testament, Psalm 116. Words are on the screen, verses 12 to 13. This is someone who has been to the Lord. This is someone who has been to God for forgiveness. And they say this: what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Let's pause to pray. Father, give us minds to understand the depth of your grace. Give us hearts to respond to Jesus as our Savior. Give us urgency to flee from your coming wrath and to cling to Jesus as the Savior who is able and mighty to save. And stir within us as a congregation a great togetherness and a great sense of purpose. As we seek to be good news people, speaking of this Savior and sharing this news locally in all our daily places and to the very ends of the earth. So breathe on us, breath of God. Create life and all we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final piece together. Jesus is Lord, the cry that echoes through creation.
Thank you.
Have a seat. Just want to mention one wee thing, which I meant to mention at the beginning of the service, but forgot. Over the years here in Ballyhenry, we have really appreciated and really been blessed by friends. Friends who have come to us from outside of the congregation to visit with us, to speak with us, and we have really benefited from and appreciated the leadership that sometimes outside voices can bring to the life of the congregation. Bishop Ken Clark, a retired Church of Ireland bishop, has over the years been one of the most respected Christian leaders within the evangelical constituency right across Ireland. Ken has visited with us on a number of times here in Ballyhenry, and we have always been encouraged by his visits. Bishop Ken is going to visit with us, all being well, next Sunday morning. I was chatting to him. I said, "What's on your heart? What do you want to talk to us about?" And he said, "I want to encourage you to be a people of hope." He said that he talks to so many people, he visits so many churches, and he feels hope is just lacking in so many of our lives. He said, "I want to come and share a message of hope." So that's what's on the card for next Sunday morning. And I want to just create an extra 15 minutes next Sunday morning, if that's okay, so that we're not in a rush and we're able to take good time to sit and listen to Ken, do a little bit of an interview with him. So if you're happy to plan that in for next Sunday morning, and let me encourage you to encourage others to come along, maybe particularly people out of the church who maybe are not about as much as they used to be, or people who come and go a bit. Why don't you say to somebody, "Look, we're having something a bit special next Sunday. Praise group will be singing something extra for us." Do pray that next Sunday morning there'll be a real sense of the Lord placing hope in our hearts as Ken comes and speaks with us. Let me pray with you as we go. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for each other. We thank you for this team, for this family here in this place. We pray your blessing upon us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.